In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Come, let us worship the Lord. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Lord is my portion. I entreat your favor with all my heart. When I think on my ways, I hasten and do not delay. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Your word is a lamp to my feet. Old Testament reading is taken from Genesis, the 18th and 19th chapters. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. As he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is Sarah your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife will have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Praise be to thee, O Lord. The epistle is taken from Colossians, the first chapter. You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make them known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all this energy that he powerfully works within me. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Be to thee, O Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. You may be seated, and the children may come forward for the children's choir. Continue with the hymn of the day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord Jesus was received into the home of two pious and godly women, Mary and Martha. They knew Jesus. They were familiar with him. They were among those whom in his earthly life our Lord considered to be friends. With such an esteemed guest, Martha is busy at work, prepping and serving, ministering to the needs of the body of all her guests. And remember, it was not just Jesus, but his disciples as well. There was a lot of work that could be done to play the gracious host. But while Martha was busy at work with this and that, with many things, her sister Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to his teaching. Martha, understandably, you probably would be too, got annoyed. Here she is busy with this and that to serve their guests, and her sister seems to be sitting there in idleness and in true rest. And so she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her then to help me." But Jesus does not answer her prayer in the way that she desires. Instead, he gives her a lesson that she truly needs. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Now, this story strikes us as odd and maybe even a little uncomfortable. I think most of us very strongly identify with Martha in this story. If you've ever watched the show The Chosen about Jesus' life and ministry, you can see how they handle this situation and how they are uncomfortable with it. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't watch The Chosen. There are certainly some things that they do well, but you definitely shouldn't get your theology from it either. One of the problems of the show is that they often skirt around Jesus's more uncomfortable teachings. They make them more palatable. And from a producer's point of view, you can understand interrupted, and all the disciples get up and help Martha. Now, if I was writing the story, that's probably how I would write it too. But it is not my story. It is Christ's story. And Jesus should make us uncomfortable. When we read the Holy Scriptures, we are not only interpreting the words on the page, but the Holy Spirit is interpreting our own souls to us. And for the one who is not perfectly aligned with the will of God, which of course none of us are, that will make you uncomfortable. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary," Jesus says. Are we not to be busy with many things? Should we not be concerned with our neighbor who lacks bread or clothing? Should we not be visiting the shut-in? Should we not care and support our families or care for our guests? Of course we should be concerned about these things. We are busy with many things, and we should not imagine that Martha is being blamed for her cares of hospitality. But in her care and her concern for the many things, which in themselves are good things, she has lost sight of the one thing, that we must be served by Jesus. Jesus has come to Mary and Martha's home, not to be served by them, but to serve them. This is a story about Christian worship. And it is often the case that we get confused about the nature of worship, as if it were first and foremost about what we do for God. This is at the center of worship for many of the false religions of the world. But Christian worship is first and foremost about what God does for us in Jesus Christ. We see this in the words that we use to describe it, even if we have forgotten their meaning. For instance, we often call worship the liturgy. But when we hear the term, we often think that the liturgy is simply what we find in our hymnal or the order of service. But what we find in our hymnal is just that. It is an order of service for the liturgy, which is a distinct thing. It's not what the liturgy is in itself. The English word liturgy comes from the Greek liturgia, which meant a public service rendered by a person for the public good at large. In its original Greek usage, liturgia meant public burdens such as taxes to pay for roads or the equipping of a fleet, that sort of thing. It was a tax, an obligation, a responsibility that the citizen owed for the sake of the nation. The word liturgia was then appropriated by the church to describe her worship. But with that appropriation, its meaning dramatically changed. The liturgy, the liturgia, in Christian worship means what God the Father is doing in sending his Son to give up his life for the life of the world. The liturgy is God's service, his liturgia to us in the Son. Jesus is at the center. His burden, his obligation offered up for the nation of God, the chosen people, the holy Christian church. This world is filled with the business of many things. There are many things for us to be troubled and anxious about, like Martha. But in the world to come, there is only one thing. In the kingdom of God, we are all filled with the one who created all things, and we abide in him in perfect rest. This is perfect worship, to turn to God as the giver of every good gift and rest in his goodness. And where Christ is, there is the kingdom of God. And so at the center of Christian worship is the word and the sacraments, these seemingly ordinary things through which Christ comes to us and makes himself present. In the divine service, heaven meets earth, and we are taken up into heaven, into the very kingdom of God. And there's another one of those words, the divine service, or in German, Gottesdienst. The name divine service puts the emphasis on God's initiative in coming to serve us. God comes and serves us, and then we respond with the sacrifice of thanks and praise. And in that way, we serve him. Mary had chosen the better part because she had chosen the one thing needful, to be served by Christ, and it will not be taken away from her. She now rests from her labors, as Paul says, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works. In the divine service, our Lord speaks and we listen. His word bestows what it says. Faith that is born from what is heard acknowledges the gifts that are received and responds with eager thankfulness and joy. We confess back to him what he has first said to us. We repeat what is most true and sure. And so we began the service with the invocation of his holy name, which he put upon us in the waters of holy baptism, because it is his holy name that is more true and more sure than anything in all the world. We are here by his grace, and where his name is, there he is also. And so we come before him as sinners. And we confess our sins with nothing to offer but our need. And he gives us the forgiveness of those sins and the absolution. And we, freed and forgiven, acclaim him as our great and gracious God. Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so the rhythm of worship is from him to us and us back to him. He gives his gifts, and together we receive those gifts and extol him. In the divine service, we see a most wonderful reversal of our Old Testament reading in Genesis 18. There, the Lord, that is the pre-incarnate Christ, appeared to Abraham, and Abraham rushes to serve him and play the good host. Abraham washes his feet, gets him bread to eat, and slaughters the fattened calf for him. But according to the new covenant in his blood, he comes to us to serve us. Heaven meets earth, where he descends from on high and makes himself the host to serve us, where he washes us and gives us his own body to eat and his own sacrificial blood to drink. And he fervently desires that we receive this gift and wishes to give us these gifts. How could we not desire this as often as possible? The divine service is our place of rest and spiritual fulfillment, where God and the Son restores and feeds us, where he forgives us and nourishes us. And when seen in this light, the question, why go to church, seems ridiculous. Why? Because the immortal God comes to you to render his divine liturgia. Who in their right mind would choose to do anything else in all the world? This is the one thing needful, the better portion by far. Nothing can compare. Do not be anxious and troubled about the many things, but receive the one thing, Christ himself, who came not to be served, but to give his life to serve you, gave his life to be a ransom. And having received from God these gifts that he wishes to give, you can go forth and then be busy with the many things. In fact, that is your call. Having received his mercy and forgiveness, having been filled with his life, having received his rest, you can then go forth from the divine service and be busy to render your service to the hungry and naked neighbor, to visit the shut-in, and fulfill all the duties of a gracious host to your visitors. And in so doing, God serves them through you, and you serve God through them. In the name of Jesus, who is the one thing needful, who comes to serve us, amen. The ushers may come forward to receive the offering. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Everlasting God, you have made known the mystery, long hidden and revealed, the glory of the gospel of Christ in us. Bring us and all the saints through the changes and chances of this mortal life, that we may be presented by Christ to you as those whom Christ has made holy and righteous and fit for eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you made Paul a minister of your word. Abide with all pastors, such as the Reverend Brian, and those studying to be pastors, such as Jacob, with all deacons and deaconesses, such as Kea, with missionaries and translators, and with teachers, and all who work to bring your word to your people, that their labors may be fruitful and their hearts faithful. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we live in a land of great abundance, and we carry great responsibility for the good things of this nation. Bless all who make, judge, and administer our laws and guide our leaders to know your ways and to follow them for the good of all people. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Father, in your mercy, you behold all people in their need. And by your grace, you supply all that we need for this body and life, for everlasting life. Hear us on behalf of the sick and those who are suffering, grieving and dying and need protection. Especially Pauline, Kelly, Sean, Kirk, Edie, Joyce, Angie, Grace, Kirsten, Jordan, Aubrey, and Patricia. And those we name in our hearts. Help them all to rejoice in their sufferings for the sake of Christ and give healing and grace to your will until you deliver your people to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, one thing is necessary. Out of great mercy, you set that portion before us in the Blessed Sacrament. Help us to treasure this precious gift above all earthly things, and grant that it may never be taken away from us. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you have forgiven our sins and delivered us from death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to pour out your mercy upon us. Grant to all of us good, needful things to this body and life, and keep from us all things harmful. From you, through you, and to you are all things. O Lord, Holy Father, mighty God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one God, one Lord, now and forevermore. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by thy governance may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Okay, it looks like we have quite a few announcements this morning in the bulletin. I see the font had to be shrunk down to fit them all in. First off, the handouts that you probably received in your bulletin. St. Thomas is doing their ice cream social this afternoon at 4 and 7. So if you're able to make it to that, please go ahead and do that. It's a good time to have fellowship with one of our oldest sister congregations, who we've of course had a relationship with for a very long time. There's also a little handout for the church projects that have been compiled by the committee. Two priority ideas are the bathrooms and the ramp. So if you have any thoughts on those, suggestions for contractors, anything else that you think should be done, please write those notes down and get them in so the committee and the trustees have that information. Of course, ground will not be broken on any project before the voters' assembly, but they need to get started so they actually have something to propose for the voters' assembly, right, to get approved. So that is in the bulletin. The flowers on the altar this morning are in honor of Ron and Kim's 51st wedding anniversary, wherever they're sitting this morning. And the Ream family would like to thank everyone for their prayers and support at the death of Gloria June over these past couple weeks. The Endowment Committee will be meeting after service on July 27th. There's another ice cream social coming up for the Friends of Winnikin on July 27th with those details in the bulletin. And the Shum Family Reunion Committee is once again sponsoring an off-year event, a Tin Caps game on August 2nd, so details for that in the bulletin. And I think that is it. Any announcements that I've missed? One note, I encourage you guys all to learn hymn 429, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart. It's one of those hymns that's sort of like the unofficial right answer for pastors if you ask them what their favorite hymn is. And if they say another hymn, then, you know, there's no accounting for bad taste. You're wrong. That's fine. But it's Lord Thee I Love With All My Heart. So it's a good hymn. You should learn it. Okay. Depart in peace.